Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, Dolly Alderton is an award-winning author and journalist, and she knows what makes people tick. From a start in reality television, courtesy of Made in Chelsea, she's gone on to become one of Britain's best-known dating and advice columnists. She published her memoirs to great acclaim at the early age of 30, called Everything I Know About Love. It became a bestseller and won a National Book Award for Autobiography of the Year. Dolly has now turned to fiction to tackle the dating phenomenon known as ghosting. Dolly Alderton, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. Listen, after being so successful with your columns, your podcast, your memoir, why turn to fiction?
I think the end goal for me was always to end up doing fiction. I love getting immersed in another world. I love creating characters. I love writing dialogue. As you said, I kind of started in TV, so that's something that I've always wanted to do. And I love reading as well. I love reading fiction, so it's something I always wanted to try.
And your new book is called Ghosts. Explain to people, what is ghosting?
If you don't know what ghosting is, I'm very pleased and very happy for you, listeners. I hope you never have to know what ghosting is. Ghosting is when someone who you are in a form of relationship with, it doesn't have to be a long-term relationship, it can be some sort of intimate or romantic relationship, when they decide to exit the relationship, but don't give you any heads up, don't give you any explanation, any exit chat, any farewell. And in its most extreme form, it's when someone just vanishes, stops replying to you, stops speaking to you, and just disappears into thin air.
Was it emotionally exhausting for you, I suppose, to mine your own life, to talk about personal things at length? Is this, you know, almost a release from that?
Yeah, it's heaven. can't believe I did it the other way for so long. Examining yourself and examining your own life and your own decisions, and also being constricted by your own experiences and your own plot and your own small world. And my world is quite small in terms of my experiences and my privileges. The great thing about writing a novel is not only is it a holiday from your own experience and from your own head, but it's also a great exercise in empathy and imagination, imagining what it would be like to be a different person in a different head, leading a different life with different relationships and a different family. And it's just so enjoyable. I love that process.
Tell us about Nina Dean. She's the main character in your new novel. What kind of a woman is she?
She's very cynical. She's very logical. She is very switched on. She's very aware of various gender inequalities and inequalities in the world. And I think that is in quite stark tension with this great desire that she has to have quite a traditional setup, to have a family, to fall in love, to have a home. And I think we're really looking at that kind of murky territory, that dichotomy of what it is to want to be someone who is awake to things, awake to inequalities of the world, particularly when it comes to heterosexual relationships, but also someone who has a deep, deep yearning for something that's, quite traditional.
She's also part of a generation, Dolly, called the Blair Bulge. What is that?
So I have stolen this from my friend Eddie Cumming, who's a journalist, and he just said it to me over lunch once. And I was like, God, that's quite an interesting theory, where he was talking about why he seems to know lots of single millennial women in their 30s, but he doesn't know lots of single men of our generation. And his theory is that Blair made more people go to university, more women go to university. And his theory is that university-educated men will marry women who don't go to university, but women who are educated at university won't marry a man who didn't go to university. So that is why there is what he calls the Blair Bulge, which is accounts for the cohort of single women. I don't know if that's true. I just thought it was interesting. And you know what? If it makes single women sleep better at night, if you can be that academic and political about it, then maybe that's
great.
A great comfort.
She's also typical, I suppose, like yourself, of many millennials, drifting apart from her married friends, worried about maybe parents that are getting older, in this case with dementia, and also having to live cheek by jowl with a difficult neighbour.
Yes, exactly. And I think I wanted to examine in this book anxieties that were quite specific to her generation. And a lot of that, those questions, I think, are about growing up. When is the time to grow up? Our parents' generation, I think, had a much shorter young adulthood than we did. I think basically lots of millennials I know had a kind of extended adolescence until they were 30. You know, the point at which your friends and people around you start doing very grown-up things and settling down, I think that that can be very discombobulating for our generation that have kind of created this extended, solid urban family of sort of grown-up children. And I think that has maybe been more difficult for us to process than our parents' generation.
And is it fair to say, do you think, Dolly, you know, Nina, that again, pretty typical of your generation, raised to, I suppose, have good hope and self-belief, but unable to exert control over their circumstances? I mean, I think of relationships or whether or not you can have a family.
Yeah, my generation of women, and I think it's also very symptomatic of every generation that they think they've invented every sort of crisis, every sort of emotional crisis. I'm sure there are lots of people listening in their 40s and 50s and 60s who are going to say, you didn't invent that, fear lady. But there definitely is a sense amongst women of my age, women that I know, of sort of quiet megalomania, this idea that we can control everything, anything that we want, we've been told we can have. And I think that that is a fallacy when it comes to these big kind of unpredictable things and these strokes of luck in life, which are you going to meet the person that's going to be a partner and have a successful partnership with? And are you going to be able to have a family? This is stuff that sadly, I think we have to surrender into a state of unknown. We can only control that to a certain extent. We can't control that via an app like every other part of our lives.
In our 30s, we kind of really begin to engage with mortality for the first time.
Yeah, I think there's this sense in your 20s that things are definitely tumultuous. They certainly were for me. It felt like I was in a sort of emotional whirlwind all the time. But in terms of big, big practical, scary things happening, most people, if they're lucky, don't really have to face mortality. You're not really in the center of the life cycle until you get into your 30s. And then suddenly, I just remember having a feeling in the first year of being 30 of like, wow, there is life everywhere. There are babies being born. There are people losing babies. There are parents that are getting ill. There are people that, you know, parents that are dying. And it just suddenly hits you in a way that I think most people, as I said, if they've had the luxury of for their 20s, not really having to face these big questions.
And the love interest for Nina Max, I mean, tell us what happens. In the end, obviously, ghosting happens, but tell us about it, Dolly.
So I think what I wanted to show through Max is to explore the idea of romantic escapism that can happen on apps. It can be really exciting. And she meets a man who is almost two-dimensional in his perfection. He's like a kind of romantic hero out of a fairy tale. And at the beginning of their courtship, which ultimately maybe offers clues as to why she perhaps could take some responsibility and why it all falls apart so disastrously, she spots an opportunity to escape from life and go into a romantic fantasy with someone who wants to do that with her. And it's very exciting.
I was reading an interview with you, Dolly, in Vogue, I think. You mentioned you're currently single yourself. Do you use dating apps out of interest?
Do you know what? I deleted Hinge in lockdown, Miriam, because I felt so disconnected and everything felt so virtual anyway. I just thought looking at these pictures and reading these profiles, it just made me feel like love was even further away. So I packed it in. Yeah, packed it in lockdown.
Do you know what's interesting though? Reading and watching you, Dolly, even your podcast, which is so great, The High Low, you're objectively such a successful, patently nice, beautiful young woman. Do you mind being single or is that okay?
I think that's a really, really good question and one that I haven't ever been asked, I don't think. I think it's really complicated. I think that I maybe am rarer than others in that I've always really fetishized the state of singledom. It's something I've always found very exciting. I don't know why. It might have been because I grew up watching Sex and the City and reading Bridget Jones, when arguably I don't know how great those heroines are for a stage singledom. But I've always found that idea of being out with my backpack on by myself, journeying through the world, I've always found that a very emboldening and exciting thing. And then there are other times when that goes out the window, and all I want is to share moments of happiness with someone, or to share moments of sadness with someone. What I find reassuring now is the times that I wish I was with someone, or I feel slightly despondent about being single, is when I'm in a good place and when I'm happy, and I just want to be able to share that experience with someone else.
Well, Dolly, I loved talking to you this morning, and I loved your novel, Dolly Alderton's Ghosts. It's published by Fig Tree. Thanks so much for joining me this morning and chatting to me, and the very best of luck, Dolly.
Thanks, Miriam. I love talking to you.